today let's deal with healthcare. I know, I have already dealt with it. But just to remind you once again, this is going to be a talk on spiritual healthcare. But let me remind you once again that we as church must stand up and defend always life from the moment of conception to a natural death. Any healthcare program that has any funding for abortion, any end-of-life counseling, so to speak, is not acceptable, not to any Christian anyway. And so therefore, it's a wonderful thing to see our country standing up and putting the brakes on systems that have been for too long destroying our future, which are our children, and threatening our very hope, which are our elderly. We need at all times to recognize and reverence our elderly among us because they are truly God's gift to the church and to the world. Now, spiritual health care. Now, I don't know if I want to use the word health care because health care almost insinuates that somebody's going to take care of you from cradle to grave, and that's really not the case because there are responsibilities with spiritual health. We have obligations with spiritual health. God has seen to it that we have seven sacraments. They all deal with some physical aspect of our existence. We have birth. We have baptism. We have confession, and we have people who commit wrongs. So we have litigation, we have people who finally come together, they apologize. Well, we also have that sacrament of reconciliation. We have food, we eat, and so God gives us a sacrament of nourishment, but a spiritual nourishment. We have adulthood. When we go through adulthood, we have a sacrament of adulthood, which is a sacrament of confirmation. We have teachers in our society, and so therefore we have the magisterium of the church, we have the priests, we have the bishops, deacons. We have illnesses, so we have medicines and herbs and things to help us to become stronger. And we have the sacrament of holy anointing. We have union between two people, and therefore we have the sacrament of holy matrimony. You see, God has covered almost all of the bases. Why? Because every aspect of our lives, to a certain extent, has some spiritual aspect that goes along with it. And the more we recognize that, the more spiritual we become. You see, you and I have always a tendency, and that's with everybody, we have a tendency to dwell so much on the natural things around us, the human things, the worldly things, and we have to, no doubt about it, we have to make sure we've got heat in winter and we've got clothes and we have the things that we need, that we sometimes push the spiritual off, maybe even limiting it to one day a week, Sunday. But in reality, the spiritual aspect, the spiritual health of the Christian is something that has to be always, not just for one day, not just Sunday. Sunday is God's gift, His great gift to us. It's when we're recharged. It's when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God's only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the day that we study Scripture and all of us worship together and we become real members of this community of faithful. But then when we go back into the world, we go back into our families, that ecclesia, that church has to continue somehow. And that's our responsibility. That is the health, the spiritual health, that we have to work on continuously. As parents, we have an obligation to make certain that the spiritual health of our children is there growing along with the physical health of our children. We can't worry just about inoculating them against some swine flu or H213 or whatever it might be called. We can't worry only about that without inoculating them from the evils that surround them when they go to school. If we do not deal with what they are dealing with, we fail them, because what we are doing is we are not preparing them well for the spiritual battle that all of us have to fight. And if, by the way, if you're not fighting a spiritual battle, look out. Because every one of us must, if we are going to truly be Christians. We are living in a day and an age of greatness, of true greatness. Because years ago, we could be made silent and things would plod along, and we had a society that was a Christian society. Now we've got presidents and people in government praising the fact that we are no longer a Christian society. Well, what does that mean, really? What does that mean? An anti-Christian society? Now, that I would kind of go along with. I kind of agree with that, especially in many of our schools. Especially now, with, you can't even pray in a school without, oh, everybody coming down on you. You got to take them to court, sue them, lose their job. Years ago, when there was sanity in government, everyone prayed. Why? Because we knew that without God, we can't even have our country. And if we want to keep our country, we have to have a spiritual health. And you know something? The spiritual health of a family relates precisely to the spiritual health of our country. And if you don't think that the spiritual health of our country is important, look around us. Look at what we've done. We've taken the principles established by Christianity throughout the centuries and we've thrown them in the garbage. We've thrust them away from us. And what is it that we are replacing it with? Think about that. With nothing? To replace the spiritual health of our society founded on Christian principles with nothing is to be amoral, which means to have no morality, which in itself is preaching a type of morality. And so therefore, we have to turn our country back around to its roots, which is Christian morality. We have to once again become a Christian nation. We have to stand up and take our country back. Because through our silence, through our inactivity, we have given it over to the reins of hell. And I know that's a tough thing to say, but it's true. When we give the reins of our country to a godless people, that is the beginning of hell on earth. And then we have something to fear. With Christ, there is nothing to fear. With true Christian values guiding our country, guiding our politicians, God help us. Spare us, O Lord, from politicians who call themselves Christian but don't practice it. Because there is no such thing as separation of church and state when it comes to morality. Moral principles must be practiced by every politician, and those who say that they do not have to practice them or they do not have to implement them in a just and good society are liars, because they lie to the people that they are sworn to protect. And we must protect them, our people, from a godless society, a godless institution. We are very fortunate to be born in this beautiful country. But because of the spiritual illness that is permeating our society, we truly are in grave danger. We are in grave danger of losing the structure of family, which has been attacked on every single side. We are in grave danger of losing the very beauty and freedoms that were gained at such an incredible cost. Every day we as church pray for our men and women of the armed forces. But we also pray that you and I will be worthy of their sacrifice.